Here's Higdon. It sits up nicely for Michael Higdon. And what a start for Motherwell. But here's Malt, and he goes for it for Son. Magnificent Malt. Stephen Robinson celebrates. Motherwell, 2-1. Could that be the goal that puts him into the Betfred Cup final?
He's got Irwin. The supporting links from Ainsworth on the angle. Lionel Ainsworth fires home.
It's Lasley deep into stoppage time. Up goes Sutton. No foul given. Kerr. And Reid is there to knock it in. The goal is given. Hesitation for Craig Reid, who scores his first ever goal in senior football. And what a moment for Motherwell.
Hello and welcome to the MFC podcast. Tonight we're recording a special edition of the MFC podcast reflecting on a year without fans in stadiums. Now it was the 13th of March 2020 when Scottish football was suspended. The coronavirus had taken its hold on football. That would eventually lead to the league being curtailed. We obviously started back up again in August to empty stadiums, and that has continued throughout this 2020-21 campaign. I'm joined by Andy Patterson, Pepe and Ewan Robertson to look back on that strange last 12 months. We'll talk about the hopes for fans returning to stadia in Scotland, hopefully in the not too distant future. Guys, first of all, welcome along.
How are you doing?
Hi, Andy.
Thanks for having me, guys.
No problem. And you know, I will start with yourself. You have got, I guess, a privileged position in terms of being a football reporter. So you've still been attending matches across this season. You do a lot of Motherwell games, and you'll have experienced firsthand without the atmosphere. Firstly, how different is it in comparison to a normal match day? I know there's a lot of protocols in place and guidelines to follow, even in your role as a journalist, just to access the stadium. And I would imagine the match day experience has changed drastically for you.
Yeah, 100%, Andy. I mean, it's a complete privilege, like you said, to be back in grounds. And ultimately, it's my job at the end of the day, so it's not as if you're going for enjoyment. You are working, and it can be quite stressful. Writing a match report and stuff like that. But yeah, it's a complete privilege, but it's just really strange. You know, I don't want to say ungrateful at all that I'm not in ground, that I'm able to go in grounds, but it's just not the same without supporters. In fairness to the clubs, in this instance, Motherwell, they are fantastic in terms of the protocols they've got in place. The safety aspects that the club is put in are really rigorous, and they're also very good at accommodating the media as well. You know, all around Scotland, you're not really allowed to go inside to kind of press rooms after the game. So I think I was in at Kilmarnock this season. It was -6 at half 8 at night. I'm trying to get my fingers to work. So it's not always the glitz and glamour that it can be. But I think as a fan of a Scottish football club myself, it's just not the same at all without supporters. It's almost quite eerie. Really, you know, you may have these great moments in games where you can imagine what the atmosphere would be like, and I know you've got a fantastic atmosphere, particularly at one section of your ground, and it's just a bit sad, really. And hopefully, you know, fingers crossed that supporters can be back by the start of next season. I think that's a realistic deadline to have a percentage of the fans back. I think, you know, there's no chance we're going to have fans back this season at all. But hopefully, you know, things keep going the right way over summer, and then we can get supporters back in stadiums in Fir Park come August.
Andy, we go back to this time last year, and when the news broke that football was suspended, I think it would be fair to say that very few of us predicted what would come next. I can remember, I think it was a 3-week initial suspension. And I would say, speaking for myself, certainly, I thought we would be back very quickly. I didn't know much about COVID. I didn't have any perceptions of the stranglehold it would have in our lives. There's not an hour that passes without in some way been affected by this horrendous pandemic that has really just changed life as we know it. What was your initial perceptions of what was going to come next? And did you foresee the situation with firstly the suspension of football and then the season being curtailed and then a season without supporters as well?
To be personally honest, I can't remember. I think it's just a kind of factory of what's happened, that this chat about new normals and such like, but you do become accustomed to the situation that you're living with in quite quickly, and that basically is, as I recall. To be honest, I don't really remember too much about it. I remember all the kind of chat whenever things looked as if there was an element of doubt as to whether the season would be concluded or not, whether we were going to restart. There was obviously arguments depending upon where you were sitting in divisions and what have you, and the kind of rules behind the decisions that were taken for that. I certainly remember that element of it. Did I think it would be back? Did I think we would be out of stadiums for a year? In all honesty, I can't remember. I think it was very much a case of let's see what happens here. I mean, quite honestly, the football was kind of put into perspective very quickly with the amount of people that were affected by the pandemic, and it took its rightful place. To be perfectly honest, and obviously as things changed, relaxations came in going through the months. You know, the kind of decisions were taken to end the season. We had the kind of benefit, if you want to call it that, of kind of English leagues and European leagues to keep us entertained. And I think what the league ultimately decided, the SFA, the SPFL, you know, the authorities, certainly in terms of the top flight anyway, that their kind of reasoning of you know, cutting it off at the end of last season, having a clear date in mind as to when we would resume. And you know, we've got to the point now where we're 6-7 games to go. We're in March, there's no massive backlog of games, certainly again, emphasising on talking about the top flight. The lower leagues are much, you know, more difficult and much heavily affected by it. But, you know, their kind of decision making, however much it might have been by accident rather than design or whatever the case was, but, you know, here we are a year later, and I think their kind of decision making at the time was proven to be reasonably accurate.
Pepe, as Andy's already mentioned there, it's maybe seems a bit crass to say that we really miss football and all we want to do is be back in stadiums when this virus has caused so much misery and damage to lives. The death toll is absolutely staggering, and it's something that is so serious and so much more serious than football is. Though that being said, it's such a big part of all our lives. All of us are season ticket holders. It's part of your routine. It's where many of us get a release. We get to see our friends. It's a very sociable thing, supporting Motherwell. So it has been a big loss not being able to attend football matches.
For me, absolutely massive. It's a massive part of my life. And I totally get what you're saying about the bigger picture with regards to the amount of people that it's been affected by, and I can only count myself lucky that I've not had any direct personal loss, or I've been completely healthy throughout it. My wife works directly front line. She's a nurse at the hospital, so she sees it. But taking it from a football point of view, if you look at it at the moment, Saturday, another great result for Motherwell, and it breaks down the monotony of your week. It really does. And then you look with that wee spell there, kind of a Saturday, Wednesday, and I was getting kind of into it and enjoying it. And now you've not got this game on Saturday, and it's almost like there's a void in your week. And I definitely don't think I'm alone in that. And I suppose that's kind of an echo on what Andy just said in relation to learning to live with things. Like at first, just sitting in the house with the stream, it just, I was hating it, but I slowly started to enjoy it. Now, whether that's because we're winning or no, I don't know. But it doesn't beat the feeling, for example, driving down the Ravenscraig Road, when you see the floodlights on, there's nothing beats that, walking into the stadium. And even like when you watched recently, when Alan Burrow's done the video of the stadium going to be updated, and seeing inside the stadium kind of live, and seeing the seats being taken out, and you bring back memories to when I used to go and stand and telling my wee boy about that's what it used to be like and stuff. I think the club have been quite smart in that they're building anticipation. It is going to be completely different going back to the football, because these stands, you're not going to have to move seat because the roof's leaking and stuff like that. So I'm just really, really looking forward to it. The one thing, just to answer something that you'd said previously to Andy, did they see it coming? I personally didn't. I was completely shocked. Particularly because where Hearts were in the league, I thought they were such a powerful club that they would have had more of an influence, that they wouldn't have made a decision to end it. And likewise with Partick Thistle, I think they'd probably have been more at the moment with Rangers having run away with the league, although at the bottom of the league it's a bit more tight. But I was completely shocked that they made that decision to relegate Hearts just after them appointing a new manager and stuff like that, and the size of the club that they are. But I just could not see. If you'd said to me this time last year, if we were talking about the Motherwell Hearts game, which would have been at the weekend there, that there'll not be another game, you'll not be able to go to another game for a year, I would have laughed at you and said you're off your head. But that is where we find ourselves now, and it's completely shocked me. I think when we look back at this, when we're older or wiser, I suppose, we'll maybe look back at some good points. But it has been a struggle, and I just can't wait to get normality back.
Ewan, in terms of people being locked out, the gates are closed, supporters can't get into stadiums, we've now become somewhat accustomed to streaming services, and that's how we consume football at this moment in time. Do you think that will serve as a perfect way almost to whet the appetite for the return of fans to stadiums? I think that quite often when you watch games, the crowd can drive a football match. And I think that's been quite noticeable in the fact that there's a, I think it's an exact split of home and away victories this season. There's been the same amount of away victories as there has been at home. And that's quite telling in itself, that home advantage has slipped somewhat in terms of maybe not got that driving force behind them, teams at home, and they lose a wee bit of momentum, I guess, or drive. A lot of people have alluded to Celtic's problems this season, and some of that being down to not having a crowd behind them and maybe lacking that motivation as a result. So the crowd are a hugely significant part, and of course the biggest part of that is the revenue that the fans plough into football clubs. That loss is still something that will be causing a lot of club owners and chairmen real headaches as to how they're going to plug this gap and the losses that have been suffered as a result of the pandemic. But do you think that a year of watching streams will just drive people back to stadiums when the day comes that it's safe enough to do so?
I hope so, Andy. I really, really do hope so. And I'd love it if it's a big passion of mine is for people to support their local teams. I'd love it if, you know, fans all around the country would go and support their local team, whether that be at Premiership level, Championship level, but even if it's a Saturday, the juniors, you maybe can't go to the away games, really get behind your local club. And I think, certainly from my point of view and from people I know and people I'm friends with, the demand and love for football has maybe even grown during this period. People have realised just what a central part it is in people's lives. Not just a Saturday, but you know, it all comes to a climax on a Saturday, isn't it? When you go to the pub, see your mates before the game. If it goes well, you're back to the pub. If it goes bad, you're back to the pub. And the whole kind of supporter aspect, and it's and that sense of community, and almost like a fraternity almost. And yeah, I mean, streaming's kind of is difficult, isn't it? I've watched my club Thistle. Thanks for mentioning that they get hard done by there, Scott. I completely agree with you, mate. It's different watching a stream. You probably kind of get used to it, and you certainly don't enjoy it. But even football generally, I found myself, because there's so little to do in terms of your social life or your private life, watching any game that's on telly. You know, when football came back, I think I watched every single Bundesliga game it was on. You know, I'd watch any game it's on now. You know, English Championship, anything. I'd just watch it because it's all there is to do. And I suppose for supporters who aren't able to go and watch their clubs, streaming is the only access they've got other than the media work, which I think you're very fortunate in Motherwell, where we do get some really good content at your club in terms of the media work. I watched the video with Alan Burrows the other day, as you just discussed, talking about, you know, the upgrading the stands. And for a supporter, I can only imagine that gives you a sort of sense of excitement about coming back, but also that sense of nostalgia, like you mentioned about, you know, that's where I stood when X and Y scored that goal, or that's when I stood with my dad, or that's where I took my boy to the game. And I think it's really good that Motherwell can engage with supporters in that way. But I just love to see, you know, a real upsurge in attendances at clubs all around Scotland. It'd be great to see that, you know, when you go to, you know, a Thistle, or which I think is smaller grounds that I love in Scotland, like a Queen of the South or a Somerset Park, and it was full, it was a great atmosphere, everyone was enjoying it. I think that would be just brilliant, and we can maybe learn from this experience and come out in a better standing for Scottish football and for the finances as well of clubs in Scotland, because they're going to have to cut their cloth accordingly when we do come back.
And Andy, we're going to get to that point in the not too distant future, aren't we, where clubs will be announcing plans for season tickets for next season. At Motherwell, they've promised to honour all the games that we miss. So many people at this moment in time, I guess, are due a free season ticket for next season. And people will be in different circumstances. Some will perhaps forego the refund and pay as normal. Others may be in different circumstances and have to take the club up in the offer. It's going to be an interesting marketing task, isn't it? I don't want to kind of say double charge, because it's not the case, and we have been given access to the streams, so we've been able to see all the games. I know that there will be people straight away jump on the fact that there has been some problems with the streams, but I don't think the club can be blamed for that. But it's going to be an interesting one to see how the club present a season ticket and kind of justify it being value for money as well.
That is possibly one avenue that they could adopt. Just when you specifically say the term kind of value for money, and it may be that they can put it in such a way. You know, that's been done creatively by teams in the past, where they've went down a route where they've said, well, you know, you pay what you think the ticket is, you know, is worth. You know, what value do you give your season ticket for? I think Bradford were one of the teams that did it, and I think Albion Rovers are maybe one of the teams here that did it. So there is perhaps an opportunity to consider something along those kind of lines. But as you say, the kind of the finance from last season potentially going to be kind of retained in some respects, not fully kind of paid back. So it's something, you know, that there's definitely a bit of creative thinking required from clubs across the country. And there's going to be different viewpoints from that as well, because everybody approached this kind of differently as well. You know, I remember you were Celtic fans being pretty irate at the deal that they got. And we were being used as an example, you know, the deal that you mentioned, where, you know, if we if we missed out in five games this season, we would have five games effectively free next season, and 10 games, you would get 10 games free. In addition, you would get your streaming, and I think there was a kind of an offer in there as well about a League Cup game or a European ticket as well. So, you know, the kind of package that we got was pretty good, and there's going to be supporters that were, in their eyes, have been much worse off. And, you know, it's going to be difficult in many respects to go back and say, well, you know, we're looking for the same as we normally do. You know, if people have paid the equivalent of a full season ticket and don't believe that they've got the kind of value that would normally bring them. So you're right, it's going to be interesting. I think the remark was at the AGM a few weeks ago was that the kind of the details were being kind of finalised, and you know, we would hear imminently. I think normally they kind of go in sale kind of April. I know it's these days, it's before the season's kind of concluded that the kind of details are released. So we'll find out sooner than later, I'm sure.
It's got, as we've already mentioned there, the circumstances for each individual will be different. It goes without saying that a season ticket is a big outlay and comes at a fair cost. But I guess the thing that's kind of at the forefront of our minds when it comes to this sort of thing is the kind of future of the football club. And as I've said on a few occasions on this podcast tonight, that the amount of money that supporters plough into the clubs is absolutely critical to their well-being and their survival and their very existence. So it's going to come down again to the supporters backing the club with their hard earned. And so often football fans across the country do exactly that, and they are the kind of lifeblood of the football club.
You can also look at it in another way, though, that the football club's in the blood of the supporters as well, because you only need to take yourself back to the time where the league did get suspended, then it was looking at likely that it was going to end, and we went, I can't even remember the exact timescale, we went without a competitive game, and then you had the kind of a excitement of the Europa League games. The, can you remember the Monday night when we played Ross County, and that was all because the football was back. You actually felt as if normality was coming back. For me, I'll be writing this year off, yes, I do agree with you that fortunately my employment hasn't been affected, and nothing's really changed other than the restrictions that everybody's having to live with. But for me, I'm counting down, I wish we had a date that we could count down to when we're going back to the stadiums. For me, the club have done as well as they possibly could have. I think the questions that are asked, I don't think the club envisaged that we would go a full season without there being fans in. So for me, when the time comes that we can go back, I would just love it to be that there's a drive for, let's make it our highest attendance since X, Y and Z, and the prices reflect that. Like, I always remember when Motherwell played in Harry Campman's reign, Dundee United, and the stands were full. Now maybe that will be restricted because of the numbers that are allowed in, but I'd love for them to do it. But what I'm trying to get at is that we want to get back to normality, and I would like to think that the club football plays such a big part in people's lives that we do go out and get our season tickets as we normally would, because at the end of the day, if our club are going to suffer financially, which we've already went through when we nearly went under, and we don't want to see that again, and certainly I'll be buying my season ticket, and I'll not be looking for a reimbursed. I've seen every game this season, albeit it's not been the same, but it's no fault of the club, and every club in the world is in the same position.
Yeah, it's kind of a balancing act, isn't it, Ewan, in terms of, if would you place the same value on watching on a stream as you would being in the stadium. And that maybe gives us a bit of food for thought as well in regards to what happens to streams following this. I had a conversation at the weekend kind of relating to this, where I think it would be an interesting thing to explore keeping the streaming option available to supporters. Now, there would obviously be a few things to iron out with broadcasters and such like. I think overall, the majority of fans prefer following their team from the stadium. But I think now, especially given this kind of different year that we've had, the option of perhaps missing a game and watching it in the comfort of your home would maybe be something I would take up on occasion. There'll be times where I simply can't justify paying into an away match, for instance, where you're quite easily 25 quid at the gate, you've got your travel, whether you're getting food at the game or before the game, a couple of pints. It all adds up to quite an expensive day, and the mentality I would normally take to it is you spend it and you forget about it. But there is an occasion where you'll have to make sacrifices in terms of simply not going because it is out with your price range. Having that option there to buy a feed is something that I think I would take up in the odd occasion, just to ensure that I see the match. It's not nice being priced out of football, and football's quite often been accused of being too expensive, and justifiably so. So is it something that you think could be retained, and maybe the way that football is covered in Scotland might change even just a bit?
So yeah, I'd hope so. I mean, I think you make a really good point about it being a good alternative. I actually think that there should be conversations going between the SPFL and the potential broadcast partners to centralise streaming. So say you supported a club in the Premiership, it's also difficult because Sky and BT have the rights, so maybe it's easier to drop to the Championship. But if you paid X amount a month, not only would you get to watch your team's games, but maybe for an extra X amount, a tenner a month, you get to watch every other team's play. Because I think that'd be really good. You know, if I was sitting in the house and I had nothing to do, would I watch another team in my league? Would I put it on the background for an extra tenner a month? Well, of course I would, you know. A sort of Netflix-style subscription service for Scottish football, I think, would be very successful. Because I think if you offer it to supporters for a smaller amount, you get uptake, and you'd also maybe get interest in, you know, games that are outside your league. But I'd certainly watch a game in League Two between, you know, if Elgin City were playing Stenhouse Muir in a big game. I'd turn it on. I honestly would. And I think there's a lot of people in Scotland who actually do take a little bit of an interest in the smaller teams as well. And I think that's an important aspect of this. I think we should be looking at a package where you can access all the games. I'm a big basketball fan, for example, and you know, NBA TV sort of do that, where you might only support one team, but you can pay for the package, you can watch every single game live. And I think that's something that the league has to do. I think you've got to kind of move the times and the sort of digitalisation of, you know, the product, the digitalisation of football. I think it's important that we try and move the times and put something together. Whether or not I think that will happen with the people that are in charge at the moment is another matter completely. But I think that surely during these times we've had so long to kind of sit and think about things, that there's people who are innovative enough to sit down and think about the bigger picture and look about how we move forward in a post-COVID world.
Andy, can I just come in a wee second just to take it slightly different from a personal point of view? If I go back 10 years, when my dad was still here, my dad passed away at 54 of cancer. And at the time, he couldn't get to the games just due to his health. He was still healthy enough to be able to get him downstairs to put the TV on. But at that time, he couldn't even get the Motherwell game on the radio. I would have given anything for a service like what we've had 10 years ago, that my dad could have, I probably wouldn't have went to the games. I'd have probably sat with my dad and watched the game. And there will be people, it doesn't not necessarily be COVID related, but there will be people who aren't able to get to the game through illness, through, it could even be mental health, it can be anything. And I think having that they are taking COVID and everything away, I think it's a great service that as Ewan just said, that isn't really getting or hasn't really been explored. And I think now it is important. I've never really thought about it, but I would have gave anything. That's one thing that I would change, that I could go back and sat and watch that season with my dad. And I think that's a valid point. It's maybe a wee bit personal from my side of it. But I would certainly have, that would be something that I would love. And if I'd never touched with that I'm fit and healthy, that if it was a case that I could watch it in the house that I wasn't well, then I think with the current circumstances, it is quite a valid point.
Yeah, and it's a really nice point that you make as well. I think really the kind of overriding sentiment in that is that we're not going to get to a point where we decide that watching on a stream is better than watching in the stadium. It's just not going to happen. Anybody that goes to football will prefer it to watching it on the television. I've yet to meet anyone that would disagree with that. And it's not going to be a world where fans are voting with their feet and paying a few quid less to watch a stream, because I think generally you would be, you want to go to the game. That's the reality. But there is times where life gets in the road. And I think our approach to everything now is drastically different from what it was last year. We've had to make quite a lot of adjustments. I know you don't work from home very often, Scott, but the kind of normal office environment that we all existed in beforehand doesn't exist anymore. So there's a bit more of a kind of laid-back approach to life, and things have had to adjust and adapt to the circumstances. So I think that it's something that the clubs really need to look into, and I think that it will re-emphasise the need for a better match day experience in Scotland as well, which is maybe a topic for another day, but there's going to need to be a lot of changes and maybe kind of for football to prove its worth. Again, people have had a year where they've not been paying for away games and such like. I know someone's going to pipe up and say that you pay for your stream, which is completely true, but there's just been a bit of spending when it comes to football that hasn't been there over the last 12 months, and maybe football is going to have to justify its place in people's lives again. I just think that turning your back and fans, and as you say, like, your dad would have cherished the opportunity to watch Motherwell when he was too ill to make the stadium. Why should it be the case that these people are almost frozen out? You've got someone there that they would have quite happily paid for a service, and it's not a, and you're not losing as a club. It's a real head scratcher that, but I think that there must be something there. And Sky are a multi-billion pound company that are so powerful, would they release their grip on the broadcast rights? That's maybe doubtful, but there should be some leeway and some kind of scope for change. And let's face it anyway, you look at, and this really pissed me off actually, looking at the Premier Sports picks for the Scottish Cup, Rangers against Cove Rangers and Celtic against, can't even remember who they're playing, but it's an absolute diddy tie again. They don't see beyond the top two very often. So would they really care that Motherwell versus Hibs was available on a stream? They wouldn't be showing it anyway. So maybe just some of the greed needs to go as well to allow us to advance and allow people to to access it, because I think the other thing is, and sorry, this is a wee bit of a rant here, but the fact that people are so familiar with English football and English football teams, so many kids just now will have an English team, and some of them might actually prefer their English team to the team that's on their doorstep. That's because they see all these games. You don't see Motherwell on the telly very often. You don't see you and Partick Thistle on the telly at all. It's hard to support something when you don't see it. And opening the doors to especially the younger generations and allowing them to watch football is so important to clubs going forward. We're going to miss out on generations of fans just basically because they don't know it exists or they don't have that opportunity to follow it, which is quite a sad thought, really.
So, you make really good points. I think that all the points are really good there about people who can't go to games. And I just think sometimes we're kind of guilty in Scotland of being a bit behind the curve when it comes to football. And that's actually a question to you all. Like, from my point of view, I was just kind of looking at it in my head. If you could buy a subscription service to Scottish football where you paid, say it was £30-40 a month, and for that you got to watch all your team's games, and you got to pick, say, three other games or two other games a week, would you subscribe to that service for, say, £30-40?
I probably would. The difficulty I think that you've got, and this is probably me covering the elephant in the room, is that there's fire sticks, there's other ways and means that people that can get the game, and I think that's going to be the main stumbling block. I mean, that for you can go into the internet and virtually watch any game, and I think that is a major issue where the club's revenue will be affected, because there's so many people can go out there and just intercept the streaming. They'll, for a wee while it'll shut down, then it'll come back. So I think that's a major issue with it. But sometimes if it's going to be a better quality, then I probably would subscribe to it.
Yeah, I think I'm in the same boat. In terms of, and it maybe depends where the revenue is going as well. The money and the distribution of funds in Scottish football has never exactly been fair, has it? But if it's a way of supporting the club, and again, it would suit me, and I speak from a purely selfish point of view there, but I just think having that option, like, for talking's sake, last season we played Ross County on Boxing Day, an away fixture at a time of the year where people have got so many plans and everything else, or we used to be able to make plans, but the option there, you think, well, I can't get away for 10 hours of my day to go to Ross County. That straight away means you can't watch the game. It just seems no one kind of does joined up thinking in Scottish football sometimes. Give people access to that. It's not. If you had that option, so many of us would take it. Instead, you'll get 100 travelling supporters going, a reduced home crowd possibly as well. Although I know that sometimes locally the Boxing Day fixtures and the New Year fixtures receive a wee bit of a surge in crowds, but that's such a long distance to travel at that time of year. It's not a great route to travel either. You're likely to be doing it in the pitch dark on the way home as well. So it's just consider the fans a wee bit more. Inevitably, you're going to have to make the journey up north on a couple of occasions in a season. But make it a bit more possible for fans and a bit more realistic. And I think in turn, you will make more money. And that is the name of the game in terms of having that financial security and also having supporters that are feeling part of it and considered and thought about. Which I don't feel that we're a club that disregard the supporters, certainly not. We're also, of course, a fan-owned club, but I think that the fans should be a bigger part of the picture than they are sometimes. And we subtle changes would really solve that. Sorry, is nobody coming in?
No, sorry, I was just coming in there. I was just trying to get something else to flash up my phone. I generally do agree with everything that we're saying, and I just think the issue is I don't think it would be the right time to have the subscription service coming in just now. I would like still it to be the case if you get your season ticket, you get it for free. I wish that there was something in the league, though, that, like, for example, I think it was it Livingston? It was like 20 quid or something, or £22 for the stream. I think they've got to get together and say, right, away fixtures is this, and home fixtures, you can charge your own fans whatever you want, but you can't charge more than 15 quid for a game. I think there's got to be consistency with the price across the board as well. I think that's a factor in getting almost like an away season ticket, I suppose.
Yeah, there's definitely going to be changes to the way that we consume our football, especially in the initial stages when they're still kind of gradually getting fans back into stadiums. I can't imagine that they'll go for the full quota straight away. So that might mean that the streaming service is still available for a part of next season, while we kind of get to the point where it's safe to get back to full capacity. There's quite a lot of interesting points here, and I think the subscription one, the kind of almost Netflix of Scottish football, is something that I've heard considered in the past, and never really given it so much thought. But I think having that kind of, I know that it was the brainchild of Roger Mitchell, wasn't it, the SPL TV thing, but something that gives more access and a more fair and balanced coverage of other Scottish teams as well. This whole kind of just rotating between Celtic and Rangers away games is quite a boring and stale approach to things that perhaps will never change. These are the teams that bring in the big numbers, I would imagine, but it doesn't really reflect on what we want to see and give a kind of fair and balanced coverage over the season. So there's a lot to look into, but it's going to take someone with, they're going to have to be brave, put it that way, to try and upset the apple cart, and for too often and for too long, that's something that's not really been something that's happened, has it, Andy?
No, it's something, a catch 22 situation. You kind of, we've kind of had the discussions before about what the kind of the worth of Scottish football is in terms of TV deals, and you know, there's been numerous examples where you look around broadly similar populations and maybe not even comparative statures of leagues, and we don't seem to compare particularly well with the TV deal that we've got, and we seem to be in that catch 22 where if we go looking for a better deal, a more even spread of the revenue in the kind of division and the finance, the prize money, which ultimately is driven through the kind of TV and sponsorship element of it. We do that, then you know, we get the threats that they'll look elsewhere, you know, the big two in the country, and you know, there's discussions going on about what happens once the kind of European current structure with the kind of competitions goes on there. And it's kind of well known what the aspirations of some of the larger clubs are in the continent and where they would fall in. We would wait and see, but you know, it's difficult. The only interest tends to be from the kind of national broadcasters, as we know, as we've discussed, you know, the best part of the last 20 minutes, is they only seem to be really interested in showing Rangers and Celtic, because that's where they're going to get their viewing figures from. So it's finding some way, as you, there has to be the concession, as you've alluded to, that, okay, there's perhaps room for two packages where, yes, you can do something here, but for those that aren't going to be broadcast, you know, can we do something different for those teams? It's all really about driving the interests of the club that are their primary concern. You know, when it boils down to it, Rangers are interested in Rangers, Celtic are interested in Celtic, Motherwell are interested in Motherwell, and we only need to look back at instances where same thing but slightly different, where we tried to get the combined season tickets, and it was just fraught with difficulties because people had different interests, that they had, their priorities were different from, you know, other clubs. And we had the situation where you had your reciprocal arrangements with Dundee United and Hearts and Kilmarnock, but it lasted a season, two seasons tops, and that's along similar lines. We actually try to get fans to the games, and it's an extension of that. And while you've got scenarios where, you know, Celtic are going to look to get every single penny that they can muster to put a challenge to Rangers next season, and vice versa, as it's been for however many seasons past, while Hearts are seeking to, you know, get back into the top flight, while Hibs and Aberdeen are maybe battling it out for, you know, third and fourth places and get into Europe, they're kind of concerns about, you know, equal distribution of revenues for, to allow things like, you know, television coverage or on stream coverage are always going to get pushed way down the pecking order.
See, just in relation to streams, Ewan, what's it? Obviously, you've alluded that you're a Partick Thistle fan. How does it work with Thistle fans? Is it what's the kind of cost and whatnot involved in the lower leagues? And what's the kind of a quality of the services been like? Because from a Motherwell fan point of view, the first part of it was shocking, so much so that the Steelmen Pins created a sticker. There's a picture of a female comes up and says we'll be back shortly, because we've seen that as much as we've seen in the football. So I was just wondering what your knowledge was watching the Thistle games and stuff.
To be honest, I think you probably got a lot better in the top flight, because I think it's out, the filming of the games is outsourced. I've obviously done a lot of commentary this season for your new arrival, so I've got quite a good understanding of that. But in terms of Thistle this season, we initially went with the kind of pixel lot of cameras, because that was the kind of agreement with the clubs in the league, but eventually they realised straight away that it just wasn't good enough. And to be fair, since then the service has picked up, but I think a lot of lower league clubs, the service is nowhere near where it's at and for the top flight clubs. And I think we've seen the famous incident where was it Inverness when the pixel lot camera thought the bald headed linesman was the ball. I just kept following him about all game, but instead of the games. But I think it's imperative to kind of stress that it's new for all the clubs as well, in terms of how they roll out these packages, and there's probably a little bit of teething problems along the way. But I know for a fact that it's improved as the seasons went on, and you know it's interesting when we talk about kind of the price point the clubs have went at. I know Livingston's at £20 a game, and I think Rangers are actually the cheapest at £10 a game, which is, I think, £10 for the game is a fantastic price point for the supporters. And obviously they can probably justify that more because they've got such a large fan base. But I actually do think sometimes if you set the price lower, you'd actually get more revenue in because you'd get more people buying it. But seems that a lot of clubs are probably a little bit too scared to take that risk, whereas I think that's probably the way forward for it.
We'll talk about the Livingston game just before we wrap up for this week. Scott, a very good performance. It's been a massive week, obviously starting with the draw against St Mirren, a brilliant performance at Easter Road, and then to win for the second Saturday in the Spin and move ourselves really nicely clear out of Kilmarnock at the bottom. We're looking more on for 7th than we are for 11th or 12th now. It's a very satisfying afternoon, and a game that we completely controlled, I think, from start to finish.
Yep, totally back to we built on the Hibs result and come back, and we never really looked like we were going to be under anything else other than a victory very early on in the game. So I was a bit kind of worried when Tony Watt went off, because I think he's been our most important player, probably taken away from maybe Liam Kelly, but I think he makes the whole system tick. But Chris Long coming on, and I was really surprised when Chris Long came on that he didn't play him through the middle, because when you listen back to a couple of weeks ago, Chris Long has virtually been saying he's been playing out of position, and that's maybe part of the reason why he hadn't scored as many. But all positives again, Ricky Lamy playing really, really well. Liam Kelly not having a great deal to do, but when that header comes in, he pulls out another wonder save, and he's just been phenomenal. Really, really has. We were actually speaking before, again, Robbie Crawford, just doing what he does, and now starting to get noticed with some nice, neat touches and breaking down the play. Him and Campbell seem to have formed a really, really, really good partnership, and Devante Cole is like a different player for Graham Alexander's come in. Now, whether that's coincidental or whether or not it's the instruction that the new management team's given them, I don't know, but it's just great having to watch your team winning two Saturdays in a row. It was absolutely brilliant again. I've seen a couple of negative points about our second half performance, but for me, we managed the game well. We deserved to win, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. I don't think we're out it yet. Echoing what Graham Alexander said, only looking to the next game, and we're playing against Kilmarnock. Tommy Wright's not won a game. He's potentially going to be our manager. It's one that I'd, at the moment, I'd quite happily take a draw, and then I'd be more confident. But as you say, I've been quite positive recently. So let's look up the way, and hopefully we can put this mediocre season behind us, and we can see what the new manager's got with a full pre-season, and see what his signings are like.
Andy, it would be maybe I get a bit carried away in terms of it was only a couple of weeks ago that we were losing to Accies and St Johnston at home, but we've put those bad results behind us, and now you've got 6 games left of the league season. You've got the Scottish Cup starting again at the start of April, so there's quite a bit to look forward to, and we seem to be in a really positive frame of mind all of a sudden. There's players that are really stepping up to the mark. Ewan mentioned before we came on that he'd been really impressed by the recent performances of Robbie Crawford. It was good to see Chris Long coming off the bench and getting on the score sheet. Devante Cole continues to look really good. Jordan Roberts has taken many of us by surprise with his excellent performances. The goalkeeper's been tremendous. You can't get carried away, but we've got a game that looks like it should be a relatively comfortable one to navigate to start us off in the Scottish Cup. We obviously know we've had slip-ups before and embarrassments in the past, but we should get through that. And then you're down to 16 teams. You've got a chance. We could still make what Pepe described as a very mediocre season a very, very memorable one if we get a wee bit of luck and we continue the high level of performance that we're getting just now.
That's right. I mean, I suppose the fact is that we went from kind of five, six weeks of fairly decent form to two disastrous performances in the space of a week. Gives a kind of warning signal that things can quickly change. But I mean, you're quite right in that we're building up a nice wee head of steam just at perhaps the perfect time in terms of the Scottish Cup. You would hope perhaps another win, maybe another two, that we don't have any concerns then about the league position. We're going to be one of the kind of teams that are able to kind of concentrate on a cup, where for other teams it may be less of a priority if they're fighting for their lives or there's kind of European aspirations or what have you. So there is that kind of that kind of element to it as well. And over the piece, we've drawn against Rangers. You went to Parkhead and we were kind of a header off the line away from getting a point there. You went to St Mirren twice and drawn. We went to Easter Road and won. We've beaten another top six side in Livingston. So, you know, there are kind of signs there that, you know, for the most part, those two horrible fixtures aside, that we've kind of shown that we're not miles away from the other teams within the division. So you would hope that on a day, if we can get the kind of performances that we have been getting, you get a favourable draw. Who knows? Could be your year.
I think I read, see this when you're talking about all the results, I'm sure I read somewhere over the course of the weekend that since Graeme Alexander came in, only Rangers and Celtic have had amassed more points than us. So that'll be really for January. So I suppose when you look at it from that point of view, it's been a dramatic improvement when you taking away the results against Dakies and St Johnstone. It's only really been named to performances that have been poor, so it is relatively positive.
Yeah, I suppose you could take the dangerous approach of dissecting game by game in terms of performances, and those ones that you mentioned against Dakies and St Johnstone were really, really poor, but the team came in for a fair bit of criticism, and they deserved the criticism that they got. And there was even question marks over Graeme Alexander at a ridiculously early stage. But he's done well in getting a response out of the players. And that's still with a number of these signings that we talk about on a weekly basis on here, not having come in and featured. So it's certainly looking up, and I think the positivity levels are pretty much at its highest point of the season just now, because we've come up against a Hibs team that were in really good form and come away with a well-deserved 3 points. Livingston, albeit they've not been at their best in the last 3 or 4 weeks, are still a tough nut to crack. So to get that result was really impressive and really important when you look at the other results. So a wee bit of a surprise to see Aki's got a point at Pittodrie, although Aberdeen proven that you've got to actually score goals to win football matches, and they don't do that very often these days. The result for County at home to Killie, I'd say that possibly went for us. Increased the gap, obviously, over Kilmarnock at the bottom. But we've still got to play them twice, so it's not over yet, but it's very close to being confirmed as another year in the top flight. Which was the main objective for Graeme Alexander, so that's certainly a positive. Just one final one before we go, Ewan. You've mentioned your affinity for Partick Thistle. The lower leagues starting back again in the next couple of weeks. Would you expect some of the younger players at Motherwell to perhaps be loaned out and get some much needed experience? I'm thinking off the top of my head, guys like David Devine, Dean Cornelius, who have been in the match day squads for the majority of the season without really playing much football. Ross McKeever was out on loan. Jamie Semple was out on loan at Cove Rangers. It would surely make sense to get some of these young guys out. There was a story that got a fair bit of press last week about the fact that Graham Alexander's carrying a 40-man squad. That's clearly far too big for a team of our size. And you can't keep 40 guys happy when you can only pick 11 to start and 9 substitutes. So it seems to me that it would make perfect sense to get these guys out and playing with men and build up some much needed experience.
Yeah, 100%. I can definitely see that happening, because obviously the loan window for Championship, League One and League Two clubs has been extended until the end of March, so the possibility is there. Obviously, Motherwell can't bring in any players on loan, but they can let players go out. I think it was Chris Moxey from Dundee United went back to Montrose this week, so there's no point having players there because there's no you know, reserve youth team football. So the players are much better going out and getting game time. And also, from a Motherwell point of view, you can probably get a bit of money back in terms of to their wages, which, you know, every penny is a prisoner in these days, day and ages. And it'd be interesting to see where those players go, because I think it's always important that when a player goes out from a Premiership club to, you know, a Championship or a League One club, that they go to a club that is going to be pretty successful. You know, you want your players, especially attacking players, to be going to a team who are going to dominate the ball, create a lot of chances. No point in sending them to a team where they're not going to do too well, in my opinion. It's all about finding the right moves. And it's also important that when players go out, they're guaranteed minutes, because there's no point in sending that player out on loan and then you can't. You know, he's not going to get the right minutes. Also, I think for Motherwell, it's important to send players to clubs that are perhaps geographically wise quite close to Motherwell, so that they can go and perhaps, you know, train with X team a couple of days a week, but also go back and well, I was going to say that actually they won't be able to do that with the bubble situation, so just completely forget that point there. In normal circumstances, you would be, but yeah, I expect a couple of players to probably go and loan from Motherwell.
Yeah, and if I would say, if you've got any influence, you get on the phone to Ian McCall and tell him to sign Aaron Chapman and tell him that we'll all pay his wages, because he's, what a keeper he is, absolutely brilliant. I don't know how he's not getting a game, so that's my top tip for you.
It's interesting what's actually happened with Chapman, because he's still at the club, isn't he?
Yeah, I think he was last seen at DL Park trying to find his hands.
I think he's the one that's pulling all the seats out of the stand there.
Would have any confidence if you were to chuck one at him, we would catch it.
Well, in all seriousness, no, it'd be nice if he actually did go out on loan and maybe could prove himself, wouldn't it? I don't think any goalkeeper wants the last game to be that game.
You're more than welcome to him.
I don't think there's any coming back for him. After that Aki's game with us, I guess it just all boils down to how long his contract has still got to go, because you had the situation with Jordan Archer, didn't you, that he was straight away as soon as Liam Kelly came in. Was that the chain of events?
In all seriousness, no, I would love to see the likes of Seedorf going to like a team like Thistle, who you would expect to be at the top of that league. He is a confidence player. He would get much more time on the ball. I said that just before we came on, but a player, more of an attacking player, because they're the ones that you notice. If he goes in, he gets 4 or 5 goals before the end of the season. You never know, that might just be that wee injection that he needs. I think he'd be a great signing for a team like Thistle. I wouldn't wish him anybody to go to Airdrie, but a Partick Thistle would be the perfect example.
Yeah, I think for me, and it's maybe a bit of a strange comment, but Sherwin Seedorf's always kind of struck me as a player more suited to the better weather as well. Like, I think back to like when he first broke into the team, after arriving from Wolves, and he was really good in the Betfred games, the one at Palmerston. He had a cracking game against Hibs at Firth Park, a cracking game against Hearts at Tynecastle, I don't know whether he was built or cut out for the days where it's absolutely chucking it down with rain and it's freezing cold. I can remember laughing with Gordy, watching him, realising that when the Scottish Cup game against St Mirren last season went to extra time, he would have to go back out and warm up again because there was still a possibility he might get on. And he looked like he was never ever wanting to take that jacket off. In fact, I think if he had come on, he would have still been wearing his jacket. He looked that cold. But maybe the kind of rough and tumble of lower league football might help him a bit as well, and kind of build up his approach to his game, because he maybe just didn't have that physical side to him that's required for playing over the 9-month season here, especially during these winter months where, as I say, it can sometimes feel a bit grim. Guys, I think that's pretty much all we've got for tonight. Ewan, first of all, thank you very much to yourself. It's been real enjoyable hearing your kind of your takes from inside the stadiums and your experiences that you've had over the course of the season and your role. I've followed you, as you know, for quite some time in terms of the work that you're doing, and your coverage of Motherwell is very good and very entertaining. All the best with it, and it would be great to have you on again sometime soon.
Yeah, thanks very much, and obviously keep an eye on myself and Lancashire Life, try and cover Motherwell from some different perspectives. And obviously, while we've been recording tonight, it's been some massive news because Derek McInnes is gone, so there we go.
Yeah, I had heard someone kind of speculating that it might be the case that he was going, that this was actually happening. Quite a lot of excitement from Aberdeen fans over that. It'll be interesting to see whether Stephen Robinson will be linked with that post. I would imagine he'd be one of the favourites, actually.
Exactly, my thoughts as well. I didn't know that until you had said there, and the first thing that came into my mind was it'll be Steve Robinson. But change for them, no, try to pinch one of your managers.
Yeah, there's still a possibility, I suppose. Andy, Scott, thank you very much for your time as well.
Pleasure as always.
You've been listening to the MFC podcast. We'll be back in a couple of weeks following the Kilmarnock game. Until then, thank you, goodbye.